the future does not exist.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, dear earlobes, wherever you are, at whatever time it is. We're here right now, and the we that is me, that is Damien Leslie, and across from me
is Marcel van Schoot.
And the gap to the side of me is here because I said beer Richard there instead of dear Richard. That might be a slip of the tongue, and I didn't mean it as, let's say, insultingly as that maybe sounds. But our dear friend Richard is unfortunately ill today.
You're changing places every time now.
I know, you're like the rock at the heart of this bizarre thing. In more ways than one, I would say. But you are the ever-present at the minute. It seems that life is hurtling us in all different directions, as it should. But
it's nice to be busy.
Yes, yes. Sometimes I'm so busy, I kind of wonder how we've ended up at this part of the year when I still feel like it's February, but
it definitely isn't that side.
It's as the fast show would say, Scorchio. It is. We're having like a proper, prolonged sweaty streak, aren't we?
Yeah, we are in a not so normal Dutch summer.
No, but what's been really hard this week is it's been hot for, let's say, it was hot for all last week, really nice, like kind of around 30 degrees, yeah. And it wasn't too bad. And then we were like planned thunderstorms, and the thunderstorm that arrived was like 2 minutes and then it was done.
But it was code red.
Yes.
But dangerous.
It didn't really clear the air as much as I'd kind of hoped. And we're left with what feels like 80% humidity. So I'm like, it doesn't matter what you do, it's like water just likes to seep out of you at the moment. It's quite uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But it's certainly pleasant. And my golf tan is looking like, I almost look healthy because all my freckles have come out, and like I wouldn't say I'm tanned, but I've almost got like a healthy look to certain parts of me, and the rest of me is still like a white sheet. But my golf tan is looking quite interesting. How are you finding it?
I just sort of gear down when this weather starts appearing, and I do my stuff. I just take it a step down and take it easier. You do, you don't do as much work as you should do. You don't do as much as you would like to, but you do some stuff. And you don't get too excited about stupid stuff. So you're relax.
That's good. That's good. So for those that have stumbled across this thing, I suppose we should say that this is the Future Does Not Exist podcast. It's a podcast about memory and times and places and stuff that we just, whatever we feel like talking about at any given moment, it seems.
Yes.
But today to continue the hot and sweaty streak, today we are going to talk about beaches and whatever else we feel like. But
yeah, and also swimming pools, because those are connecting.
Okay. So
at least for me.
Okay, swimming pools, well, swimming in bodies of water, I think is maybe a better, because like unless you're in somewhere like Tenerife and you have like natural swimming pools, it's hard to have a pool at the ocean.
Yeah.
But okay, I was thinking about you brought this up, and I was thinking of like, for someone like yourself who actually grew up in a beach town,
yeah,
like what does the beach mean to you?
The fact is that I've been to the beach more times since I moved to Leiden than living there.
Yeah.
And that has a couple of the reasons. One is that the beach in Noordwijk, where I grew up, is very touristy. So during days like this, it's just like tourist hell to be there. The people in the street don't talk Dutch to you anymore. They talk German to you.
Yeah.
And because that's very interesting. It's very touristy German kind of place. It's not like a touristy English kind of place. And I don't know. I don't need to be on a crowded beach with kids and other people being weird. I don't mind going there, but I would like to go there if it's like for a nice walk.
Did you feel like that when you were a kid, though? Was the beach, although, was the, I mean, Nordvik's quite interesting because you've got beach, you've got forest, you've got dune land, you've mm-hmm. got parkland around. Like, where was your hunting ground as a child?
We would go to some parts of the beach, a bit outside of the, you have the boulevard.
Yeah.
And that's the most common place where people go.
Yeah.
They get off the bus or from the bike, park the bike. On the beach, done. And if you live there, you find that there's some spaces just outside mm-hmm. or on the left side of the right side of the boulevard.
Yeah.
But it was funny because my, especially my mom wasn't a fan of a beach because it's not really the sand. Also, she didn't really like the idea of sand getting any everywhere. Mm-hmm. And she also was very like, she didn't really like the idea of the ocean there, being there, because she always told us like, be aware, it's the ocean, it's sea, it's water, it's nice, but it can also be very tricky because there's especially in the at the Nordwijk, there's some parts that get really tricky if you're not used to it. It can get like very big streams.
Yeah.
That you don't really see.
Yeah, the current.
But if you swim there, you're going to like, oh, you could be, yeah. Weird things could happen there. Mm. And so she would prefer, if we would go out, she would prefer to go to a swimming pool to rather go to a beach. Mm. But it's nice to go at the beach, but it's... Yeah. I don't have to be there on a day like this from 11 in the morning.
No, I'm not. And I've never been one to sit on a beach. Like the idea of going to just sit on a beach, I can't comprehend it. I think I'm almost like, if there was a past life, I was probably a dog because I have to either be like in water or moving, like I have to walk. At least I can walk up and down the beach for miles, no problem. But like sit on the beach and just sunbit, it drives. Oh, I can't do it. I'm too restless. I can't. If we ever go on holiday, sometimes like my wife will go, I'm going to sit down here. I've got a book. You go away, and I'll be walking for like 3 hours and then come back. And I was like, yep, I mean, fine, good, let's go.
Yeah.
And okay. I've walked like 10K in the meantime. Yeah. It was like, I need to explore. But for me, the beach was always like, it was only a thing that existed in the summer. Because for us, like where we lived in Weardale, we're like pretty much like, if you look at the strip of Northeast England, mm-hmm. we're as almost on like the central point. So it, like Weardale's the start of like the Dales, which becomes the Pennines and that kind of backbone over into Cumbria. Like we were as like almost as far into that, like almost like the very center of that strip of land from one coast to the other.
Yeah.
So for us, it was the beach would be like, right, we're going to the seaside. It wasn't the beach. We never talked about the beach. It was like, we're going to the seaside. Mm-hmm. And the seaside to us would be like a few places. The usual one would be Seaton Carew, which is a little bit up the road from Middlesbrough, which essentially looks like Imowden. Like it looks like tartar steel, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you'd go to the beach and there'd be like black stuff all over the beach. And that's just offshoot from coal and whatever.
Yeah.
But it was a really big strip of sand. And there was English seaside towns have always got like similar things on them. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter where you go. There's always the same kind of thing. So there'll be fish and chip shops. There'll be a couple of bars with a beer garden out front.
Yeah.
And then there'll be like amusements that they call them, which is basically like slot machines and like daft little things that you put 2p's in and win more 2p's.
Yeah.
And like silly little things like that. And then occasionally you'll get one which is a little bit more kind of got a little bit more going on. So like Seaton Carew was the cheap one when my mum and them didn't have much money. They just wanted to go to the beach. But we would go like armed like a army squadron. So like like the family would go, but it would be like three carloads. So there'd be like 12 or 13 of us, like all the kids piled in the back, and there would be windbreakers and there would be tables and there would be like boxes and boxes of packed lunches and this, that, and the other. And we would arrive like an army on the beach and spend like hours like hammering stuff in to build this like camp for the day. And then we'd be basically like off, the kids would be off like playing in the water or whatever. And I mean, it's the North Sea. It's cold no matter what time of year, but we'd be like off playing. But that was like the cheap one. If my mum was feeling a little bit more adventurous, we'd go to like near Sunderland, which was like Roker. And there you have like a little bit of a theme park. And that's like, as certainly as we got to like early teenage years, it was like there was something else to go and do. So we go to the shores, as we call it, and like ride the waltzer or like a couple of things like that. And then if we really wanted to do it, my mum loves it. Oh, we go to South Shields. South Shields was like the treat. And South Shields was like even bigger than Roker. It was just up the road.
Yeah.
But that had like, would had like a really big amusement park and like loads of stuff. And we would go there as teenagers. And it was always a great day out, but it was always really dangerous because South Shields had like the theme park. There would be like loads of gangs of South Shields lads that would stand around and like go and pick fights with people. So you'd be like on the boat. And if there was like, if it was just a couple of you, you were fine.
Yeah.
But if like the bunch of us went and there's like five or six, we were a target. And it was like every summer would end up like someone legging it down the beach, getting chased or like ending up in a fist fight. It was always crazy stuff. But my favorite place was a place called, and I still go there a few times when I go back, is actually in between South Shields and Roker, Seaburn.
Yeah.
Roker's actually a bit further below that. There's a little place called Marsden, and there's a place called Marsden Grotto. And essentially, instead of having the beach, it kind of comes to a cliff edge.
Okay.
And there's a lift down, and there's a pub at the bottom of this cliff.
Yeah.
And that looks out onto what's called like Marsden Rock, which is essentially some of the cliff side has obviously eroded and it left this big rock. That rock used to have an arch in it.
Okay.
When I was a kid, I think in like the mid 90s, the arch collapsed and it's now just a big rock.
Okay.
but it used to be a rock with like a hole in it so that you could like walk under it and stuff. And that's that feels like this little cove hidden away from everything. And it's got the pub there, and the pub's quite cool when you go in because the whole back wall is just the cliff.
So they've kind
of built it onto the, and as you go in, it feels like a bit of a pirate's cove place.
Yeah.
So we would go there, and of course, like the guys would be having like a couple of pints, and mother would get like a plate of food and then just play in this cove for the day. And it's a lovely little place. But the seaside was always like a treat. Every now and again, we go to Whitley Bay, but that was past Newcastle and that was like too far. or sometimes we go to Scarborough for the week or Blackpool, like the thing. But for us, like a day at the beach was like, it was a, like we would be armed like we were taking over a country, like when we turned up.
Yeah.
And I used to laugh. I used to always say like when our family went anywhere, it was like the film Paint Your Wagon. It was just like a single file of traffic and it's just all us, like everything piled up, just absolutely rammed cars. You couldn't move. You like crammed in with bags and tables and like parasols and all
prepared.
Sorts. Yeah. And then now when I go, like, I can't be asked with any of that stuff. I'm lucky if I take a towel.
Yeah, but I think if you go to the beach, which beach do you go now?
Langeveldeslag mainly.
Yeah, okay.
So it's just up from Noordwijk. It's the closest one to us.
Yeah.
But
because for me, if I look back now, the beaches at Noordwijk and have changed quite a bit. Because usually the only thing you would be able to get at the beach was like ice cream or some fries.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be like luxury because that would be it.
Yeah.
You have to sort everything out yourself. So you have to be like what you said, like you have to be prepared to go to the beach because you have to bring your own stuff. Otherwise you have to get off the beach, find a supermarket, get some stuff, go back to the beach.
Yeah.
And if you go now, there's like I think it's impossible not to run into a beach place where you can get food, drinks, whatever.
No, the beach bar thing has.
Yeah. And also what you were telling me, like, you were describing like lots of activities being there, like, somewhere you could go or like an amusement park.
Mm.
They don't do that in Holland.
No.
The only thing that slightly looks like that is like in Scheveningen, the pier.
Yeah.
But I think it's so run down now that it's almost not safe to be on it.
Yeah. No, and that's I noticed that when I traveled elsewhere, that idea of like the British seaside town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's tons of them.
And yeah.
Almost every town has the same idea. The biggest ones are like Blackpool or Bognor Regis or stuff like that. They all have the same template.
Yeah.
Loads of pubs, loads of nightclubs, loads of like, it's a big drinking town.
Mm-hmm.
And then loads of shows and amusements and this, that, you know, lots of hotels.
Yeah.
But it's like the beach is there, but it's like, it's entertainment. It's party time.
Yeah.
And every beach town in England's kind of the same,
mm-hmm.
or at least the bigger ones. And Holland, like Noordwijk, felt like the closest to that.
Yeah.
But it really isn't.
No. Yeah. You can go out, you can go for a drink after you've been to the beach.
Yeah.
That's more of the idea.
It's a very different, there's just a different atmosphere to it. And it's quite interesting. But what I find, like in the UK, you will see people walking on the beach with their dogs or this, that, and the other. But it's always like, the odd one.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you go to the beach on any morning in Holland, it's like a parade. There's like hundreds of them. It's very, even like with the lockdown happening, it was actually really rare to find a quiet beach.
Yeah.
Like people like really use it constantly.
Yeah. 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 And you have, like a proper, any proper Dutch thing, they regulated parts of the beach.
Yeah.
Like there's a part for people with dogs.
Yeah.
There's parts for people without dogs.
There's parts for windsurfers and kite surfers.
Yes,
and
they just manage like,
it's very regimented.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're in the nudist area. Where did that go? Oh, just move 10 feet.
Yeah.
Fine. And what's next to it? Oh, the family playing area. Great.
Yeah. What could go wrong?
Good planning.
Yeah. No, but it's funny that even that part is, they try to regulate like that.
It is. It's literally like just a signpost. You are now on the nudist beach.
Yeah.
Okay. It's quite strange.
Yeah. Oh. And you have the horses on the beach, of course, also in Holland.
Mm.
People with horses.
Yeah.
Going on, but they usually don't do it in this time of day.
No, but like the beaches, I mean, you get cyclists on the beach, you get windsurfers, you get people on like buggies and carts, you get guys in jeeps, you get like thousands of dogs, horses, kites, like everything's happening.
Yes.
At any time. But like you say, there's like, they're all in little compartments. They're all like, but everyone, it's like, everyone understands. That's the rule. That's fine. It's okay.
Yeah. Deal with it.
And I do notice that what I find is that how many more people walk from Lakenveldeslag towards Noordwijk than walk towards Zandvoort. It's kind of interesting, but the crowd is bigger going south than the other way.
I'm
not sure why that is. I think maybe it might closer? Be because there's a cafe down.
That could work.
So they have a route. And if you go to Zandvoort, there isn't anything.
No,
it might be the refreshment part their afternoon walk could be the thing.
It's probably the planning part. Like there is an option to go somewhere.
Yeah. But like you, so outside of the beach, bodies of water, would you swim in the sea?
But like I said, you always had this idea from your parents, like, be careful, you never know. Things could change within a half an hour.
Yeah.
So I was also, my parents also made sure that we learned to swim quite early. Like, doesn't matter if you don't like it. Learn it. You don't have to learn every move that's available in swimming. Just make sure that you can always get to the shore. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, obviously, with it being a country kind of constantly surrounded by water, it's like...
Yeah.
Kids of, like, 3 and 4 are doing swimming lessons and really kind of, like... In the
it was
UK,
mandatory.
It was like swimming lessons would kind of start at school around 7 or 8.
Yeah.
But we would, like, kind of get by. But it always made me laugh. There's a brilliant Billy Connolly routine about swimming in Aberdeen. And I swear my father's from, and we used to go to Aberdeen in the summer.
Yeah.
And my grandma Leslie, there's a bit in his comedy routine. He's like, grandma is there like, oh, girl, get in there, you big Jesse, and like stripping you up, like, go on, get in the sea. It's like freezing. Of course, it's the North Sea. And I was like, that's exactly what my grandma Leslie was like. Get up, get in there. Just get in. You're here. Get in that water. And he's like, what's this? And he says like 50 miles away, there's guys on oil rigs going, 1 minute in the North Sea and you're going to die. It's like, it won't last 2 minutes. And then 50 meters, there's like some woman throwing the grandchildren, get in there. Yeah. That's exactly what it was like. And the beach at Aberdeen, like he jokes, he says, it's called a beach because it's got sand and water, but there, like, the link to between beaches complete. That's where it ends.
Yeah, but if it was only sand and water, it would be fine. But you always also have, at least on Dutch shores, you have all the sea creatures.
Yes, and the wind. That's the main thing.
Yeah. And there was, you always had the... In Dutch, you call the kwal, like a, what is it? The jelly ones.
Yeah, jellyfish.
Yeah. And it was always weird to see them floating around. Like,
yeah. Yeah, there's quite a lot of, in the UK, you get a lot of crabs and jellyfish and stuff like that. And the occasional seal or like dead seal would like wash up. And,
yeah, but like, that's also why we I think my friends and my family, we would prefer to go to the swimming pool because it was like easier and you would know what to expect and you would go there with friends and you would get a card that would last for the whole summer.
Okay.
And that means that you could take that card.
Just go
any day of the summer. You can take like, hey, I got this card, and you can go in for free.
Yeah,
not free, but you already paid for it.
We would have like the local pools, but they're like basically like the standard pools you would get here. But they're also hot. Like for us, where we lived, obviously, like going to the beach was a day out.
Yeah.
But for us, it was like, it was going a day in the river. So the river Weir was like, and it was, I mean, it was chocolate brown color. It was clear water, but like, it was always like a brown river. And there were certain places that we would go. And especially like, I think from about the age of 10 up until I left, like 18, 20, like every summer, we would like, as a group, like get down like days at the river. And we would like, my parents, when I was a kid, they would have like a simple rule for even from like the age of 3, don't go across the main road, which was like 3 doors away.
Yeah.
But in the other direction was like miles of countryside. Can play there wherever you want because the danger was don't get hit by a car. Now, you could drown in a river, you could fall off a tree, you could like be trampled by a cow or like whatever would like all the, a lot of danger in that miles of stuff that we would walk into.
Yeah.
But we would walk down the lane, as we would call it, and then get to a place called Junction, which is where the old railway line used to be, and then follow the old railway line along till we got to this viaduct and then go down the hill. And then there you would be at the river and it would be like, there was a ford there where the cars used to go across. Mm-hmm. And most of the time we would kind of start there, but then that became too popular.
Yeah.
So as kids, we would move further and further back up the river. Mm-hmm. And we would go to try and find the deepest spot just so we could dive in or jump off or stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we ended up in a place that was like in the middle of a nature reserve. And there's like one bend in that. And there was one part where it got really deep. So we built a rope swing to like go from a tree out of it. What I'm not telling you is that it's only deep in the actual middle of the river.
Yeah.
But for the first 10 to 15 meters, it's about 4 centimeters deep because there's a big, like, Just a lot of rocks, like slabs of rock, almost like a cliff edge, but like just in the river. So this Tarzan swinger, we used to call it, had to be long enough to get out over that. And then there was just enough room for us to jump and then like drop into it. But we would spend like pretty much the whole summer there.
Yeah.
And every time, like every year we'd have to build a new swing because it would break or this, that, and the other. And every year we had one friend that we would get to test it because he was like the crazy one who would do anything. So we built it and he'd go, I'll go first. And we go, yeah, you go first. Yes. And like almost ever, like, I mean, we had to carry him home about three times and we're talking like miles.
Yeah.
Broken ankle, broken wrist, broken up. Well, he had to test everything.
Somebody had to do it.
But I loved that place. I really loved it. Like every summer we would go to, and we would just call it the deep bit. That was it. That we did, like, we weren't adventurous with nicknames or a place, but where we go, oh, I'll meet you at the deep bit. Okay.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah. Like for us going into the river wasn't really like the obvious option because you had a beach.
Yeah.
Why would you go to a river? There's a beach there.
Yeah.
You just cycle a bit further from the general spot and you will be fine.
Yeah.
And you would just go there and make a fire on the beach and didn't care, like, what could it, it's a beach, how much damage can we do with fire? Mm.
we would always be looking for water. And it was like, whether it was a beck or a river or a stream or whatever we could get. And there's a couple of like reservoirs we would sneak into as well. Like, you're not supposed to, but it's like a big swimming pool. There's nobody here to get in.
Yeah.
There's a couple of those we would go into, but down by the river was definitely our equivalent to having a beach in the neighborhood.
And now, have you ever, jumped into a Dutch river?
I've done the odd sloot and the ringvaart a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
I've swam in the North Sea a fair few times here, but actually I've done it a few times on New Year's Day, which is a bit sad. Now that's become a lot bigger than it was when we used to do it for fun. There was obviously like the big run in on at Scheveningen.
Yeah.
But now, like, even at Langeveldeslag, there's like a couple of hundred do it every year.
I know.
Like, it was like three of us when we were doing it.
Yeah, the New Year's dive thing.
Yeah.
Where you can get your head, your unyox.
But I've not so much in Holland, to be honest, but where we go to the Ardennes a lot, my wife and I and wife were there, I'm in the river all day. Like, even if I'm walking, plodging, or like renting the kayak or something, but I'm just, I love being in. I still think I am like a bit like a dog. Just give me something I can plodge in and run around in. I'm going to be happy.
Yeah.
I don't need to do anything else. Give me a river to play in. I'll be there all day. Like, no, no problem.
Are you a proper swimmer?
I'm an okay swimmer. I've never been in one for like distance swimming or anything like that, but I'll happily be in water.
Yeah. You can manage.
Yeah. And like sometimes when I was a kid, we'd go on holiday. If the hotel had a pool, that was me happy.
Yeah.
I'd just be in there for like 8 hours. Like, yeah. I don't come out till I'm like a prune.
Oh.
But I quite happily, I mean, son's got a bit of that as well. He's quite happily just plodging away or messing about. I don't know why. It's always kind of entertained me in a way that, like, even though I don't have anything, it's just water.
Yeah.
But I can entertain myself better than if I'm sitting on a beach, for example. That would bore me. If I'm in the water, I'm fine.
Yeah.
It's got a weird fascination.
Oh. Do you have a boat?
Nope.
Would you ever consider buying one?
We thought about one, but from where we are, we would have to moor it somewhere else.
Yeah, okay.
And then also it's like, and I have this weird, and it's definitely a stupid me thing, but I almost think like I've got enough hobbies. But if I got a boat, that would be the thing I would do.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I have to sacrifice something else.
Yeah.
And it's the same reason I never went skiing or snowboarding, because I was like, if I go snowboarding, I know I'm going to love it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to want to do it every year. And then that's the thing I'm going to do. And if I do that, I won't be able to do anything else.
No.
So I've almost gone, no, not doing that.
No, no. Yeah. Like, having a boat is not the most cheap hobby as well.
No. I've got friends who have boats, mm-hmm. and I always like, and every time I go out, I'm like, oh, this would be fun. But I think I'd like to just do it as I do it. And like, if friends invite me out, yeah, great, let's go. But
yeah,
I'm not sure I'd really want my own.
And just enjoy the good part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not have to deal with cleaning it up and making sure it will just be running.
Yeah. No, just pure leisure. Laziness and leisure. That's what I'm...
Friday I was out with Richard and another friend of ours, and we saw the Peurbakkentocht in Leiden.
Mm.
And if you don't know what it is, it's like this... Yeah, how would you describe it? Drunk people in a boat. Dressing up their boat in a really typical Dutch way, so as less effort as possible. And that could be just like some balloons.
Yeah.
And they were like, look how pretty we dressed up our boat. And then you will have, they probably have lots of alcohol on board. And before they reach the end of the tour, they will be massively drunk. And everybody on the who will be looking at them from the side will be as drunk as well. And I think that's the best way to describe like the Peurbakkentocht.
Yeah, I was one of the first cool surprises when I'd done like boat tours in Amsterdam or this, that, and the other. But the first boat tour someone gave me in Leiden, we actually did a pub crawl on the boat. So there are a series of let's say bars that you can moor up at the side and then climb in, have a beer, get back on and scoot off. And the idea of having like a boat crawl just like entertained me on a level. I was like, I'd never assumed that it hadn't come into the idea that this would exist, but of course it would.
Yeah.
And some of those bars that you would go to, like if you see them from the other side of the road, I would walk past them and pay no attention whatsoever.
Yeah.
But some of them were really fun. It was like really random places. Like, what's this? But like, yeah, pull up on a boat. And I think there's certain things with Holland that like, you guys love your set of rules, but those rules are there to be bent.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you can like, we all agree that drink driving's a problem.
Yeah.
But like what that level is, it's like, and the cars is kind of sort of, but like drinking and cycling, there's a certain level. Like if you can stand up, if you don't fall off, that's fine. And drinking and boats, there doesn't seem to be any policing there in any way, shape or form at all. And yet you look at it here, they're like, surely this, like, there must be like a river police going, you are like not allowed to control that boat anymore. Because I've watched people like bounce down canal road, like instead of like, just like, you cannot operate that weapon that you are holding.
Yeah.
Like if there's anything in front of you, one, you can't see. And if there's any kid playing or something, like, you're just going to mow straight over them. Like, see it, especially at like Kaag. So Kaag is this little island in the middle of a lake.
Yeah.
And it's actually weirdly like a very exclusive place. It's got a few tiny little village houses and the rest are like extravagant mansions, and it's full of big yachts and like lots of rich people.
Yeah.
And that is like rich person's pissed up playground.
Yeah.
But like you see people out on that lake and there's not one sober person.
No, 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 no. That's impossible. I don't think those boats drive without alcohol.
No. It is like proper. It's like a pirate's den of rich people, but it's all like, it's crazy around there. And like, I mean, there's the big canal that leads up to it is called the Ringvaart, which is like a big, it's like a giant ring that it's like one of the main trades, the things.
Yeah. It's impressive how far you can get if you get on a boat in Leiden, how far you can get up to Haarlem.
Yeah. It's all connected.
Yeah.
But you see like on the weekend of like, because it goes through Lisse and it goes like past Kaag and it goes past Valmond, but just the state of people on that river.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
And how fun can it be, especially if you get into more crowded spots? It's just, you just go behind each other.
Yeah.
And make sure not to bounce in each other, but that will be it. It's not like There's no speedboats allowed.
No, but that's the thing. If that's your hobby, that's what you do. Because you've paid a heck of a lot of money to have that boat.
Yeah.
You need to get your money's worth out of it. So every day you need to be seen. Every day you can, you are on that thing.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It was also always funny when when we had bands over, when I was walking them from we used to have the Sub 71 near the station, and my house is just down the road, but you have to cross two canals.
Mm.
And always those bands were like, you sure this is safe? Because if you have a typical Dutch canal, you can park your car there, but there's no like fence between you and the water. They would also like, don't people fall in? Don't people drive in? Don't people just like bike in these things? Like they do, but it's not that common.
No.
And they were like, how? They were like, don't you need a fence to make sure that people will not do this? I'm like, people just don't.
Yeah. I can remember one day in Amsterdam years ago, and I was walking, like, I'd cut through the back of Rembrandtplein, and I was walking, instead of going up like the main drag, I thought I'll cut up the back way and go up towards, I was either going towards Waterlooplein or I was going up the back towards like Newmarkt that way.
Yeah.
So I cut through the back of Rembrandtplein, and there's like a bridge that goes over towards the university, and there's on the left-hand side, you've got, I think it's the Hotel Europa. Mm-hmm. It's a really nice building, and there's a cafe out on the water.
Yeah.
And I've got my headphones on, and I'm walking up, and there's a guy in front of me. He's about 20 meters or something in front of me, and I can see him, and he's looking to the left. And he's obviously looking at the building of like Hotel Europa.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's looking that way, I started to look over, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's a really nice... That is a really nice building. And there's a couple of figures on there. And I was taking a look at that. And I've gone, yeah, that is quite nice. Now this bridge goes over and it's like a kind of straight road. But if you're not paying attention, the road very slightly curves around to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And also the railing that's on the bridge ends.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this kind of building, and I'm walking up, and then I hear this noise, and I turn around, and I realize that the guy in front of me has been looking left all the time, and he's just walked off the end of the thing. And it's like a 6-foot drop, boosh, he's in the water.
Yeah.
Right. And what made me, I was like, Christ, that would have been me. Right.
Yeah.
But he just disappeared. Like I just heard the splash, and I kind of looked and I saw, well, I was on my knees laughing at just how ridiculous this thing, because he's just walked straight off the end of, just walked straight off.
Yeah.
And it's not like you come to the end. It's like you feel like you're still walking in a straight line, but it's just bent a little. So he's disappeared. Mm-hmm. I'm on my knees with my headphones on laughing, and everyone's just looking around at me going, what the hell is this guy laughing at? Which made me laugh even more. So I've got tears streaming down my face, and this guy, he'd had to like swim about 30, 40 meters up to the nearest and then like climb out. And by the time, oh God, I was sore from laughing at him. But it was more for the fact that if he hadn't have done that, I know I would have done exactly the same thing right after him.
Yeah.
So yeah, it does happen if you're not paying attention.
Yeah. But if you, the more, if you come there more often, you're like, no.
Yeah. No, once you've clocked it, it's like, yeah, we're like, stay clear of it. But no.
Okay. Yeah, but also
disappeared.
Yeah, but it's also parents are not overprotective of their kids. Like, no.
Oh, no. But it's also like one of the most terrifying things when I first came, like literally used to scare the life out of me. It was when it would freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And you would just see like parents throwing their children on ice.
Yeah.
Like in England, that's like, it's like, don't go, there'd be like national commercials on TV. Don't play on the ice. Don't die. Like, oh, this is dangerous. And it'd be like this, like drilled into you. Like, you never play on ice. It's too thin. And this, and Holland is like, get on there. Just throwing children out. And I'm like, no,
Dutch would be like promoting it on TV. Like,
yeah,
there's a thin layer of ice.
Yeah.
But, don't get on it now because before it's gone.
Yeah, yeah, it was bizarre, and like it's still kind of in the back of my mind. It's like, yeah, this, I'm not sure it's that thick.
No. Most of the time it isn't, especially not in cities.
No. And like I've done it a few times where we've gone out with people, like, oh, let's go skating. And you start going around. Okay, on the smaller canals, it's compact. It's fine. Yep. But then you get onto like some other bit and you literally hear it. And it's like, and you're like, oh shit. They go, no, that's fine. And I'm like, no, that's really not fine. Like, I'm sorry, this is not fine at all.
It doesn't sound so really solid.
No, and they're like, oh, just don't go over that way. How do you know that way is worse than this bit? It's like, but yeah, it's like a national pastime thing.
Yeah, but when we did the swimming at school, we always had one assignment every year that they would cover the swimming pool with
a tarpaulin or something. Yeah,
with holes in it, and you would have to jump into one of the holes, go underneath, and figure out a way to get out of it.
Yeah.
Which is,
yeah.
I'm not sure it's
no,
but the idea was to make sure that you figured out, like, oh, okay, you're now under the ice.
Yeah,
find your way out.
Yeah,
but that was like a proper training every year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's quite bizarre. But it's almost like, because it's so drilled into you, there's a kind of complacency to it that it's like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
it's not seen as it being a dangerous environment because it's like, oh, we know how to handle that. That's okay.
Yeah.
But like for some of me, I was like, no, this is just death. Like what we're doing. It's more just seeing parents like just pushing small children out into the middle of a canal, going like they're testing it out. It's like, no, you test it out first. You don't make your kids do it.
Like you use the friend, use their kids.
Yes, exactly. That's the bit that's like, what's going on here? But but that relationship with water is very, very interesting, very different.
I think the most interesting part, I think it's a weird thing, but it's also good to be like feeling okay to be in the water.
Yeah.
Like, because I believe that the most dangerous things that happen in the water is because people start panicking.
Yeah. Or you're just not sure of what's actually happening.
Yeah.
So like, especially in the sea, like you mentioned that the riptides, the currents and things like that. If you're aware of that kind of stuff, you just like, you can kind of figure out where, okay, I just need to get out of that. And like, you've got to be okay that you've turned around and you're suddenly 100 meters further down the shore than where you thought you were. That's okay.
Yeah.
Get back to shore and find your way back. Don't try and swim back through that thing.
No.
And you kind of pick that up. But again, when we were kids, it was like, yeah, you go in the sea, it's fine. Just come back here. That's the only rule you had.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how far you got, just come back here. Okay.
Yeah.
We can live with that. I think we're a lot scared. Like as parents, we're a lot, more terrified of like kids being taken or stuff like that than I think my parents were. They were like, oh, get out my face. Like, go away.
Yeah.
Like, don't talk to strangers. That's the only rule you had.
Yeah, we sit here. Like,
and then come back. If you're hungry or you're thirsty, come back here.
Yeah.
And
But don't come back too soon.
No.
Because I need my quiet, a piece
we
of quiet.
Also, like, we would also go to another thing for the real. We would go to Hampsley Forest for a day out. Same thing. Like, pack the car up. Tables, chairs, all kinds of stuff. And the parents would sit and family would sit round and be whoever's driving wouldn't drink. Everyone else would be drinking all day.
Yeah.
And us kids, we'd be off in the forest, like for miles. Just run up. Don't matter, you know where we are. And like we just have to figure out a way back. So like we've all got a kind of inbuilt map of Hampsley Forest because of the amount of times we got lost in it.
Yeah.
And there was a guy on British TV when we were kids, he was like a big nature guy or like ornithologist, I think he was, called David Bellamy. And a really weird kind of speech impediment when he talked.
Yeah.
Big beard. And he was always on TV, like lots of kids programs and stuff. But he lived just outside Hampsley Forest.
Okay.
And one day me and my mate Neil got so lost because we went off in a different direction to where we would normally do, found some trail that was quite good. It turned out to be like, like an old bike trail or a, like a, this, where the rally used to go and all, like miles away.
Yeah.
And then we ended up in that, finding the river again, but that was, we were in Bedburn and we'd gone a fair few mile from where we should have been.
Yeah.
So we just pulled up to this house, like walked through the garden past all these ducks, knocked on the door, and this sweet old lady came on. She's like, are you okay? And we're like, we really need to get back to Hampstead Forest. She went, it's okay, I'll call the ranger. So she made a phone call. And while we're sitting in the house, she made us a cup of tea. We sat down and we looked around the wall and there's just pictures of David Bellamy everywhere. And we realized we were in his house, but we never met him. We only met his wife.
Oh.
But she made us a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And then the ranger came down in a little Jeep and we got in the back of the Jeep and then they drove us back and then we walked up. Our parents weren't interested at the fact that we'd been gone for like seven. Are you all right? Yeah. Are you hungry? Yeah. Fine. Nothing more said. Not where have you been? Like, what? Like, we were just out playing. Now, we've been playing for, like I say, 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah.
Not a question. Like, no. Where have you been? We've been worried about you. Nothing. They're all drunk. Yeah. So, and they're like, you okay? Yeah. What we're going to do? First thing we do, have a bite to eat, straight back in the river and off again.
Yeah. Don't go too far because we have to go home.
It was like you were safe if you were in this complex.
Yeah.
It wasn't the case of like, oh, you haven't been back for a few hours. Where have you been? Oh, what's going on? I'd be worried. Like, no, I couldn't give a crap. Just you're off.
Yeah, and this is the time that nobody had a mobile phone.
No. No.
You would just like figure it out.
Yeah. I used to love those days out though. Again, we did. It wasn't like going to do anything. Mm-hmm. So literally just go and sit down. There'd be a packed lunch and then you could just go and play. And like we'd play in a forest or a river, usually the river, or the beach or whatever.
Yeah, but you would just figure out something to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm here now, so I need to entertain myself.
Yeah. And I'm kind of getting my son into that when we go away because he's like, oh, what do I do? I'm bored. And I'm like, there's a river there. Let's get in it. What are we going to do? We don't have anything. Doesn't matter. Let's just get in the river. And then once he's in for about 10 minutes, then it's like, phew, then he's fine.
Yeah.
It's like, good. But no screens in the river. No screens allowed.
No.
That's good.
Oh. I think we did pretty okay already.
Yeah. It was a good.
Yeah. I think it's might be good to just call it a day and see how the weather is outside.
We'll go and find a body of water to jump into, shall we?
Probably.
I'm becoming a body of water.
Oh,
I think like if I walk around for a bit longer out here, like I could probably just put my clothes on the floor and dive into them. So a pleasant image for everybody.
There is a canal just across the street behind the trees, so we're pretty close to a pretty good body of water.
All right.
Which is probably extremely cold still.
Let's go jump in.
All right. Thanks.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.